racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome to the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the absolute new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupka with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, well, hello from a cold, iced over Houston, Texas. And I can tell you one thing, I've discovered I can do heat a lot better than ice. But having just returned from Hawaii, I really can't complain.
Well, I woke up this morning and it said -1 here in St. Louis. So we're up to about 9 or 10 degrees. I think it's cold a lot of places other than where you were in Hawaii.
I know you got a lot of diehard golf fans that live in St. Louis. Don't tell me the phone at Normandy was ringing off the hook for tee times for today.
Not today, but they amaze me, Bob. You know, the some are sicker than others is the way I'll put it.
Yeah. I tell you what, when you go to a golf course and you see them sweeping the snow off the green so that they can putt, then you know you're dealing with some golf nuts. Well, we didn't have any golf nuts over in Hawaii. We actually had a couple of good tournaments, Jay. You know, that Century Tournament of Champions ended up with a great winner, number one player in the world, Dustin Johnson, who literally, as you agreed last week, seems to be firing on all cylinders. And then the Sony Open, that's a full field event, the first of 2018, 156 players. Quite a playoff between Patton Kizzire and James Hahn. James Hahn fired at 62 on Sunday just to get in that playoff. Incredible round by him.
Well, the amazing thing, about an hour before Hahn was teeing off in the playoff with Patton Kizzire, you had a situation where he was asked on the Golf Channel if he thought he could win a tournament this year because they didn't think he could win that tournament, that it was already over. And now he gets in the playoff, and it looked for a while like neither one of them wanted to take advantage and win it. It was wild. Six holes. On Golf TV coverage that looked like it was out of the 80s because of another story that took place out in Hawaii. And it was a big win for Patton Kizzire, and we caught up with him after the round.
Today was a battle. I didn't have my best stuff. It was a wild week. It was a wild day. I didn't exactly make as many birdies as I would like, but it was kind of a survival mode, and that playoff was quite a marathon. James played amazing to get in the playoff, and I expect him to keep playing well. And we made a few birdies, but it was kind of a grind. It was nice to come out on top. I've never won twice on the PGA Tour, so that was a or I've never been in a playoff on the PGA Tour, so I was certainly uncomfortable. Those, you know, days like today get me excited, and that's why I play.
Amazing, Jay. He says he never won twice on the PGA Tour, meaning in the same season. Very few players have ever won twice in the same season on the PGA Tour. I guess it's pretty good that he thinks that much of his ability to play this game that he says it like it's a grain of salt.
Yeah, we know a lot of guys that have made a living with one victory on the PGA Tour, two and two in 1 year, and now the leader in the race for the FedEx Cup, Pat Perez, our buddy in second place. But, you know, I mean, does this mean we're going to see this guy get 3 and 4 and maybe even 5 wins? Has something clicked with him? You know, has he taken his game to another level? Time's going to tell, but it's certainly off to a great start.
You know, Jay, it's probably indicative of what we can anticipate as we await, you know, what's going to transpire here in 2018. I mean, you know, we got the big guns. You know, we got McIlroy coming back to play this, you know, this week, making his debut, Justin Rose, and so many of the bigger names. But more and more, and it's been well documented on the Grill Room, that the depth of talent seems to be getting deeper and deeper as we go week by week.
I mean, you could make the case, Bob, that everybody that enters now, I mean, really and truly. I mean, yeah, sure, there's going to be 10 to 15 guys that you know aren't playing well coming in or are dealing with an injury or, you know, whatever, something in their personal life, whatever, and they're just playing. But, I mean, darn near everybody now can win on the PGA Tour. Justin Thomas finished 5 shots out of the playoff, and after – this is how – and I say it how confident he is, not cocky, but he in his post-round interview after losing by 5, he said he felt like he should have run away with the tournament. And I'm going, what is he talking about? But this is the mindset of these guys.
No, you bring up a good point there. And certainly each and every one of them have a lot of confidence. But, you know, probably to the average viewer, you know, as time wears on and the purses get bigger and people that play this game of golf watch these guys, the best players in the world. They're playing on perfectly manicured golf courses. The purses are so huge. You would think that there could never be a message that could be sent to the guys on the PGA Tour. You better appreciate what you have. But that message actually was delivered on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock Hawaiian time when the missile alert went off and people were told, players included, on their cell phones that a ballistic missile is about to hit and it's due here in about 15 minutes. Boy, if that doesn't send the message home to, hey, we better appreciate what we have, I don't think anything ever will.
Well, here. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Having it happen while a PGA Tour event is in action over there, it certainly was an eye-opening experience, not only for the people playing in the event, the people covering the event, and just the people that were in Hawaii. What a scary 38 minutes.
The only lightest side came from the Peterson family, a member of the PGA Tour. His wife was in the hotel room, grabbed a mattress, and they all wanted to get into the bathtub. But then they realized, hey, wait a minute, those were instructions for tornadoes. They probably not going to work too well if a ballistic missile hits that bathtub. But all is well. I feel sorry for all those people that had really 38 minutes of terror. But it does strike a chord where, that reality is, not that big a stretch anymore.
You know, I was going to say it's a different time, but for you and some people that endured the Cold War in the late 50s and early 60s, there were a lot of different measures that were taken. And it's hard to believe that now, via your phone, you can get an alert like that. And as you said, thank goodness it was all clear, but it was an eye-opening experience, I think, for everybody. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
Well, the PGA Tour now moves to the mainland this week with the Career Builders Challenge. Tournament ambassador Phil Mickelson going to be played at La Quinta. Looks like besides Phil, Bubba Watson going to make his 2018 debut. Not a great year, 2017, for Bubba Watson. Kind of expecting him to come back strong, but he's another classic example, 2-time major winner. We don't hear a boo from him in 2017, but you certainly can't rule out the possibility of Bubba Watson winning a major in 2018.
Absolutely not. You've got some interesting guys in that category. I mean, Adam Scott is now in that category. Is their future? I mean, Bubba at times looks like a dominant player, and at times he looks like he's not interested and is not worrying about it. So it will be interesting to see him. Watch out for Jonathan Vegas. He's got a little reborn game. John Rahm is in the field, and when John Rahm is playing, he's always one of the favorites.
And Patrick Reed, I think, is going to have a gangbuster year in 2018. He has that Ryder Cup incentive at the end of the year. We all know how much he loves playing in the Ryder Cup. So, and should be Zach Johnson should be somebody we better keep an eye on. He's going to want to be on that Jim Furyk Ryder Cup team when we get to Paris later on in 2018.
Let's not forget it's January, and that means it's January for Jared Month, the PGA Tour family, raising funds to help out Jared Lyle with his medical expenses, family expenses, and living expenses undergoing his third bone marrow transplant. Man, oh man. If you can help Jared and contribute, please visit youcaring.com/January for Jared. All proceeds will go directly to the family to offset their expenses. And Bob, we've chronicled it, and we continue to give him our best wishes.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the real nice guys. And forget about making a putt to make the cut or to cash a big check. Jared Lyle is in the battle just to stay alive, and we wish him all the best. And as Jay said, if you want to contribute, all you have to do is go to youcaring.com/January for Jared, and all proceeds are going to go directly to the family. All right, Jay, let's turn to the European Tour just for a minute. Who's making his comeback? Rory McIlroy returns to the competitive scene. Not really a comeback. He took 3.5 months off to get healthy, recharge his batteries. And I, for one, are a strong advocate that Rory McIlroy is going to have a gangbuster year in 2018. I have no idea where you stand on that.
I think it's an interesting year. I don't know that I'm ready to make that decision. He is saying down at Abu Dhabi that he is in better shape, leaner, more energized, which I love hearing. You know, maybe he didn't have the consistency in 2017. And it makes you think about how consistent Jordan Spieth has been the last 3 or 4 years. And it amazes you. But, you know, he also got married and, you know, a learning experience for him. I'm hopeful, and I think there's the potential there, Bob, for him to have a really big year. I'll be curious how he comes back off a couple of months.
He has a tremendous amount of ability to play this game of golf. Don't forget, we've got to keep in mind that when he gets to Augusta, green jacket in the locker will complete his grand slam. Here's what Rory McIlroy had to say before he tees it up in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, it's been a really productive 3.5 months. Of you know, looking after myself and getting myself fit and healthy again, and I'm working on a few things in my game. So, yeah, it's been good. I feel like I needed the time off, but I'm definitely ready to get back and get out there and play golf tournaments again.
You know, Jay, sometimes 3.5 months off, especially after, you know, you really didn't do anything last season. Plenty of time to ponder, to remember back how great he really is. Does have a little bit of a health issue there with a thickening part of his heart wall. But he says it's really nothing to worry about, something they're just going to keep an eye on. But even a little incident like that can propel him to be a little, you know, hungrier and you know, put that pedal to the metal a little bit and not just lay back and say, oh, well, I'm going to win plenty of golf tournaments. Because, you know, you really never know in this sport.
No, you know, you remember David Duval and his quest to win a PGA Tour event. And he got it done. And they came in bunches. And then he became number one in the world and won the British Open. And I don't think it was everything he wanted it to be. And since that time, you know, he hasn't obviously played the type of golf that he wanted to or needed to be a competitive player. Rory, I think, is a different type of guy. I think he thrives on the competition. I think since he's been doing it since he was so young, and you're right, maybe a layoff is just what he needed. He'll come back chomping at the bit. play really well in the early spring and or latter winter and be ready
you
for
it. You know what I think about? I really admired Rory McIlroy. I met him actually at Carnoustie last time they held the Open Championship there. And by the way, we're going to be going back there. I remember that Thursday very vividly. It was windy and cold, and Carnoustie, one of the toughest, if not toughest, golf course in the Open rotation. He was merely 16 years old. There was only one player in the field that day that didn't have a bogey on his score, and happened to be Rory McIlroy. And from that moment on, I was really, really impressed with his ability to play the game. And now, after watching what I watched while we're in Maui, the clinical, demonstration that Dustin Johnson put on, I start to say, Rory McIlroy is really good, but is he as good as Dustin Johnson? I mean, that's just how competitive, professional golf at the highest level is right now.
There are three questions I think that all passionate people that follow the tour, this game, wonder about. Who will be the first one out of the three, Spieth, Mickelson, and McIlroy, to get a Grand Slam for their career, which is no easy task? I think number two is, out of this huge group of players, Bob, from Ricky Fowler to Dustin Johnson to Justin Thomas to Rory McIlroy to Hideki Matsuyama, I could keep going. Who's going to end up being the best player in this era? And then the last question I think everybody's wondering about, and you're going to talk about with Alex Maselli, is how good is Tiger going to be in 2008?
Yeah, well, that's another wrinkle to this season that we haven't even mentioned yet. But once that calendar flipped over, Torrey Pines is on the horizon. We know what he did down in the Bahamas in his event. A golf course that, if you had to shoot a low number, that's where you're going to want to play. Torrey Pines doesn't fall into that category. He's won 8 times there. But I think we're going to get a pretty good barometer of where Tiger's game is really at now once we see him play in that event. I would think that, at this juncture, making the cut might be a great thing or a great accomplishment. I don't know if Tiger thinks that way, and I don't know if Jay Randolph thinks that way. But we do have that to look forward to.
Well, you'll hear it in the interview I referenced with Alex Maselli, where Alex thinks it's a terrible move that he's coming back to Torrey Pines. Bob just said the man has won 8 times at Torrey Pines. I think if you've won anywhere one time, coming back is good, let alone 8. I totally disagree with Alex on that point.
Well, don't worry about that. I mean, if Tiger needed some encouragement to play well at Torrey Pines, he certainly received it from Alex Maselli, who said that he is not going to do well. Well, it's time now to groove up with Vertical Groove Golf, and there's exciting news coming out next week. The Vertical Groove 3-Wood is finally ready, and it's going to be introduced to the golf world next week at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando. We're going to get a chance to hit it on Tuesday, Jay. Demo day at the show. We can't wait. It's already being touted as the best new 3-wood on the market.
I can't wait to get one in my bag. The Vertical Groove driver matched with the Vertical Groove 3-wood. Wow. You can order your custom club to be built at vertgolf.com. And next week, after the big 3-wood launch, you'll be able to order your matching 3-wood like I'm going to have from our friends at vertgolf.com.
Imagine hitting your driver further and straighter, and then you're going to have that old friend in the bag, the old 3-wood that's now going to go a little bit further, going to go a little bit straighter, and your scores are going to come down. Vertgolf.com. Go there, order yours. You will send me a thank you note.
Time now to take a short break, and when we return, we'll hear a voice from the past. Bob had a chance to catch up with Alex Maselli, former co-host of The Grill Room, and now publisher and founder of the newest and best insider's information in the golf world, Morning Read. and you can log on and subscribe at morningread.com. It's free. Bob put some big tax questions to Alex, so stay with us.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Jay, he's Bob, and Bob, as we promised, you had the chance to catch up with Alex Maselli with some enlightenment on the new tax bill and its implications to the business of golf.
You're certainly going to recognize the next voice joining us on The Grill Room. He was a big part of The Grill Room for a good number of years, and he's kind enough to come on board today to help shed some light on a development in the world of golf, new tax bill going in, and a lot of people not familiar with it. So I thought I'd go to Alex Maselli, the creator of Morning Read, the fastest growing inside publication on what's happening in the world of golf, to help me shed some light to our listeners. What are the basic implications of the new tax bill as far as it concerns golf, Alex?
Well, Bob, thanks for having me on. It's been such a long time since I've been on The Grill Room. When this first happened, and most people would recognize the fact that the tax bill that was passed by Congress and signed by the president late last year happened in almost a flash comparative to how legislation usually moves through Washington. And so there's a lot of provisions in the tax bill that most people didn't know about, including golf course owners to a large extent. Somewhere along the way in the process, which was, as I said, a very short process, the 50% deduction for entertainment was excluded in regards to golf. So where in the past, if you were a business and you wanted to take, you have some business entertainment, you wanted to take someone to a, play golf or actually to a golf tournament or something like that, you could deduct 50% of it off as entertainment expense. That is gone. And most people would say, well, so what? Well, if you historically look back, when it used to be 100% and then moved to 80% and then moved to 50%, you can talk to a lot of people that were in the industry back then and the recognition of the fact that they lost a lot of business because it was an important thing. That deduction makes it a situation where if you're a bean counter back at some corporation, you're thinking, well, would I rather not get a deduction and take somebody to go play golf, or would I rather be able to take 50% off and go take them to a steakhouse? And considering that the deduction still exists for restaurants and food, that means that golf is kind of like on the backside of this. And it's just one of reasons why golf needs to do something about its public portfolio in front of the Congress, because they continue to chip away at things that actually mean something to, in this particular case, small business, which is most of the golf courses in this country are run by small businesses, and they're going to be hurt by this.
To me, it's, golf has been on the decline, unfortunately, for quite some time, and a blow like this to golf course owners seems to be especially painful.
Well, I mean, I think it will be. It's a lot of it's speculation. In talking to Steve Mona recently, who is the head of the World Golf Foundation and is involved in the lobbying efforts of many of the individual groups that are out there, there is a thought that because the business taxes have been taken down from 35% to 21%, that businesses won't think about or worry about the fact that they're not going to get that 50% deduction in regards to that entertainment. But, you know, when you hear about businesses talking about either taking that that savings, that tax savings, and putting it into buybacks of their stock or dividends or distributions to their staffs and their employees, there's no, I don't think there's any CEO out there thinking about, oh, that's okay, we'll just go ahead and still take so-and-so to a golf course because we're now, instead of having a 35% tax rate, we're down to a 21% tax rate. So I think it's going to be a difficult thing. I know in Canada, from an email that I just received from someone who bemoaned the fact that we wrote about this whole thing, said, look, you know, in Canada, we don't have any deductions for golf and everything's fine. Well, that all may be true, but it's a process. It takes time. And, you know, there's whatever, 16, 17,000 golf courses in this country. And not all of them are going to be able to survive as well as others. And I think if you don't have a strong membership or if you don't have a strong clientele, this is going to be something that's going to hurt you.
Let me ask you something. And you know, I'm not even positive it was put out in sincerity. Could possibly just somebody making light of a dire situation. But as you alluded to, lunch is still eligible to receive this 50% tax deduction. What's to prevent a golf course from charging $100 for a hot dog and $5 for the green fee?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, the IRS would probably have a problem with that. But there is, it's not impossible to try to create a scenario where maybe you can do something in what you're suggesting. However, because, you know, like with everyone else, this moves so quickly, even the IRS doesn't have draft regulations out even to regards to this new tax law. So until there are some regulations in place and everybody can take a look at them and see how there might be a way to address, I don't want to use the word skirt, but address this particular situation, there's no way to really know what you can and can't do. I mean, you know, quite honestly, you could go ahead and say, you know, you have a day, and that day includes golf, food, lessons, whatever, and, you know, find those areas where the deduction still exists. I think that's a possibility, but it may not be the full deduction. You still are going to have to value golf to some extent where it won't be deducted, but the food and other things might be deducted. So it's unclear right now because there's no regulations. But what is clear is that golf, unlike the restaurant industry, is a good example. The restaurant industry must have a great lobby because why would you exclude golf and keep food and beverage as part of the deduction? And this goes back, Bob, way back to Katrina, where golf was determined to be treated in the disaster relief programs like a massage parlor or a tattoo parlor. And because of that, they were exempted from disaster relief. And that was the whole reason why We Are Golf was created, to go ahead and try to address this inequity in Congress. And even today, that still exists. They have to go, the people that lobby for golf have to go individually and try to get disaster relief for an individual situation where it should be a no-brainer. I mean, the amount of money that massage parlors and tattoo parlors bring to charitable concerns in a community are nothing compared to golf. And yet golf is still considered to be, I guess, elitist, white male. And because of that, it suffers in the marketplace of Congress, and it suffers in amongst the other people's thoughts. And I think they just don't get it. And as much as I, you know, sometimes hate seeing the press releases from the tour about how much money the PGA Tour has given to charity, I think it's an important concept that people need to understand that without the PGA Tour, without golf, how much money is lost, not only to charitable contributions, but, you know, just lost from businesses. I mean, you take a state like Florida where there's over 1,000 golf courses. What if those golf courses aren't there? Just think how much money doesn't flow into Florida if not for golf.
Yeah, and the number of employees. And we're chatting with Alex Maselli, who's a huge part of the Grill Room for so many years, and he provided two nice examples of why our Grill Room listeners truly miss him. It's very difficult to get anybody involved in the grill room that has intimate knowledge of massage parlors and tattoo parlors to the extent of Alex Maselli. So we thank him for that information. Alex, you have the pulse of the game as well as anybody in this country. Where is golf in general as we start 2018?
You know, as much as I appreciate your laudit there about me having a pulse on it, I think it's very unclear. I think, we're still losing golfers, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, because depending on what definition you're using, those people we're losing are probably not really golfers. There's always going to be that core group of 6 to 8 million golfers, which is what we're all focusing on. If you're in this business, that's what you're really focusing on. But I think, the last downturn in 2007, 2008 was a pretty big blow to a lot of people. A lot of retirees that maybe belong to two or three or four courses, depending how it was, they don't belong to that many anymore, which means that every golf course you almost go into, unless you're Augusta National or Pine Valley, you are struggling to some extent more than you were before. And so those things you can't, they just don't turn around automatically or immediately, even though the economy today is so much better. So those are issues. I think from the equipment standpoint, we're dealing with those issues regards to the fact that somehow the USGA and the RNA probably in some way, shape, or form wants to change that, wants to make the game harder. And I understand their desire, but by doing that, I think you're going to be pushing people away. So there's a lot of difficulties out there. And then, of course, you can just deal with the fact that because of the equipment itself, golf courses are having to spend more money in regards to either lengthening their golf courses or changing their golf courses. And the new golf courses are longer, which means it costs more money. So there's a lot of, it's all about the money. I think that in the end, golf will be fine because golf has been fine for so long. It doesn't mean it doesn't need some kind of adjustments or changes. But I really believe that if you are someone that gets introduced to golf and, hangs on and takes your time and learns it, you will be a golfer for life. And there's very few sports that you can say that to, because, look, you can't play football forever and you can't play basketball forever. Golf is a game that you can play forever and have great enjoyment with it. And you're outside. I mean, it's just a perfect sport. We just need to do a better job of communicating about the game. And I think that's what I wish we would be focused on. That's what I wish everybody would be focused on, because it's all about the enjoyment and the fun that the game provides. And I think we lose that in a lot, and people don't understand that. And because of that, we're struggling at times as one aspect of just the fun part, but just also the cost part. It doesn't need to be as expensive as it is. I think it's something else that we need to address.
Hey, listen, the major complaint we get into the grill room, we missed the take on Tiger by Alex Maselli. The chorus is getting larger, extolling the great year that Tiger Woods is going to have in 2018, even so far as saying that he's probably going to win the Masters. He's only listed as a 20-1 underdog, which to me is absolutely incredible. Where do you stand on Tiger Woods 2018?
I stand on Tiger Woods 2018, as I've said consistently, or written consistently, that he will not win a golf tournament. He will not win a major. And, watching him play in the Bahamas, I thought he played very, very well on 70-yard wide fairways. Let's start seeing what he does when the fairways aren't 70 yards wide and he's under a different gun instead of playing against 17 other players. I just think that you start seeing, just last week, you see Patton Kizzire and Han play. Those aren't the guys you're thinking about at Sony when you got Jordan Spieth and Thomas in the field, but that's what you're getting now. And Tiger's never seen that. He's never seen that kind of situation. And clearly, going to Torrey Pines, as I've written earlier, I think it's a huge mistake for him. I just think that it's a golf course that's so hard. It doesn't make any sense to me why he's doing that. He could certainly make the cut. He could certainly win. He could do a lot of different things. But I just don't think any of that makes sense at this point. I think Tiger Woods is days. His best days are behind him, and he'll get some flames here and there, and everybody get all excited, but I don't really see much coming out of it in the end.
Well, it comes as no surprise that Tiger did not make a phone call to Alex Mussele to consult on whether he should play Torrey Pines or not. But anyway, Alex, always great to have you back on the Grill Room. We thank you for your contributions. And I would make one recommendation to the engraver of the winner of the tournament at Torrey Pines. Start putting in Tiger Woods' name on that trophy since Alex says he has no chance. Thanks, my friend.
Take care.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Hope you enjoyed Bob's chat with Alex Mussele. I certainly was listening very intently, Bob, because he's talking about the business of golf, which I'm in at Normandy Golf Club. I think it may be a little early to tell, but a lot of people were surprised that that loophole that had been in there was taken out.
It's going to affect your play at Normandy, or, you know, I get the impression that Normandy is such a great golf course that that people make it a point to play there for pleasure. I'm not privy. Do they use Normandy to conduct a lot of business?
Well, I mean, I think a fair amount of people have utilized entertainment golf expenses to get themselves a better tax situation. I don't think it's going to affect the amount of players or play that we have. I think it's going to affect how people do their taxes. And to me, more than anything, this thing's an accountant situation, not necessarily a golf situation. I understand where Alex is coming from, maybe in the overall scheme of things, and how it may affect small business owners or small business owners that are golf course owners. But I don't think it's as bleak as maybe he's making it, the impact that we'll have on the industry.
Well, that's two things we agree on. He thinks the industry is bleak, and he thinks Tiger Woods' chances of winning are bleak. We both disagree on that. Let's talk just a little bit, once again, about the merchandise show. I'm excited heading down there in just a couple of days. You know, the gathering of some 47,000 club professionals from all around the world, and everything and anything in the world of golf will be on display there. It really is some sight, and I figured out that, you know, if you wanted to see all of the exhibits, and I certainly am not one of them, you'd have to walk 13 miles. Although they do rent Segways, I may have to get one of those.
Well, and I may have to get a picture of that Segway to post on my Twitter account. I think, you know, this show has changed over the years. It used to be maybe much more of a buying show back when golf pros brought clubs in and there were inventory and there were certain seasons. Now it's, as you said, Bob, more of a gathering of the industry to try and do things to make it better. John Daly's going to open the show. That's good for the show, and it's good for golf. That'll be on the Golf Channel. As I've said to a lot of passionate golfers, if you ever get the opportunity to find a way to this thing, you should see it. As Bob knows and Janice knows and yours truly knows, there's kind of nothing like it if you're a fan of golf.
Yeah, and they're going to be having a hitting bay for the vertical groove driver and three wood. I'm very excited about being in attendance down there. I love watching the smiles on the faces of people that tried that vertical groove driver for the very first time.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.